Hey guys, welcome back to the Elevate Retake podcast. I'm your host, Remington Hill. And this week we have a super exciting episode for you. We have another week of a special testimony. And with us today, I have my partner in podcast, P. Anthony.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
And our good friend today that's giving his testimony, his name is Zach Hatch. Hey, Zach.
Hello, hello.
Hi, welcome. We're glad that you're here.
We're glad you're here, man.
I'm excited.
I'm going to be totally honest and say that I have zero idea what we're talking about today.
That's okay.
Anthony said, hey, there's this cool testimony. And I was like, ooh, okie dokie, let's sit down and listen to it. So I am just as shocked as the listeners. I'll be on the journey with them listening for the first time. So I'm excited for that. So let's just dive right in. Zach, tell me a little bit about who you are, kind of where you grew up, who you're married to, if you're married, if you have children, what you do as a job. Just give us a little preface and then we'll dive in a little bit deeper than that.
And maybe move the mic a little closer just so we can get you.
Got it?
Yeah.
Better?
Yeah. Or maybe a little up a little bit, just a touch.
Up a little bit. There?
Yes, perfecto.
Better. Okay, well, let me sit up then. So I am named Zach Hatch. I grew up in Ohio, born and raised in Ohio.
Ohio.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Columbus was my residence, and family moved to Texas in 2000.
Okay.
And so mom, dad, sister, we moved here. Fresh start, which was good for us.
Mm.
And then went to school at CTA. So
cool.
Sophomore year through senior, graduated there. Got done with high school, went straight into went to college. First college I went to was Westwood College of Technology. So it was a trade school.
Okay.
Got my degree in graphic design and multimedia.
I did not know that about you.
Yeah.
Very cool. Stuff.
Yep. Pursued the art dream.
Nice.
Realized a month before I was graduating that was not what I wanted to do in life.
Fair. That's probably why I didn't know that about you.
Nice. Okay.
I think I might use this later in life. I'm not sure. Got out of that I graduated college in 05, first time through in 05.
Mm-hmm.
And had a good friend of mine, good friends of mine, their mom was on CTA's school board.
Mm. Okay.
They were looking for a computer teacher, and she threw my name in the hat, of all things. So I ended up getting the job as the computer applications and graphic design teacher at CTA for 2 years.
Wow.
And at that moment, you were like, I don't really want to do this, but I need a job.
Yeah, that, but... crazily enough, I did not realize I loved to teach.
Oh, wow.
So
how
beautiful.
That was
that moment where I was like, I think I could do this.
Okay.
This is actually, I mean, half my family are teachers. And so, you know, I just started dating my wife who is Mandy Hatch. So she was just up front a couple weeks ago giving her testimony. So while we were just freshly dating, both of her uncles worked at CTA.
Okay.
One was Jim Sickler, who he's still there. He's the athletic director, basketball coach. So I got to start coaching with him and realized I had a love for fitness.
Okay. Mm.
Did not realize it. And then a couple years after, I coached for a year. And then my second year going into teaching, that summer before the next school year, I took their... SWAU was offering free summer classes. And so I did a health and wellness class. I can't remember which one it was. And ended up taking that. I think it was one of the freshman classes and fell in love. So I started taking what I'd learned from the class. And as I was coaching that next school
Applying it. Nice.
And we saw results. And I was like, I think
wow. I'm on to something here.
Yeah.
So as I was going to go into education here at Southwestern and
for like a third.
Second. I took that class and I was like, I think
okay,
I'm going to go
just
back to school.
Okay, I understand.
And I'm going to go back to school so that I went the whole year, I taught and wouldn't have had time for school with the basketball schedule and coaching. Did really well that year with coaching. I was head coach of the JV team and I think we had some crazy record. I think we were like 20-3 or something.
Wow. Awesome.
It was a blast. We had a good group of kids. That year, decided to that I needed to go back to school, get a job, paid a little bit more.
Sure.
Bless.
Yep. Ended up working for Starbucks for a long time.
Oh, nice. Like as a barista.
As a barista.
Barista, bro.
Barista, yeah.
Very well, nice. I don't know if you know that about me, but I'm a barista too. I work at Dutch Bros.
She is a barista.
Awesome. Yeah. That's awesome.
So we can swap coffee stories sometime.
Absolutely. I always make the joke that as I was working at Starbucks, I worked on 8th and Rosedale for about 3 or 4 years.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, nice. Fort Worth. So hospital district as that area was up and coming. And I worked the morning crew. So the morning rush was a real thing.
Sure.
And I joked that I served all of Fort Worth coffee at some point.
I believe you.
And sure. I have carpal tunnel to prove it.
Wow.
Were you working bar the whole time?
Yes. Yeah. I loved it. It was my favorite spot to be in.
That's fun.
Totally. So anyways, relatable. as I was at Starbucks going through college for the second time, I had a coach, Bussy, and I'm his first name. I think he's at Southern now, or he was for a time before he left Southwestern. He talked me into him and Vesa Nakarenin into doing a personal training just as a side gig.
Okay.
Mm. And which side gig turned into this full blown, got my second degree in health and wellness.
Okay.
From Southwestern, now going on my 10th year as a personal trainer over at Texas Health Ugly.
So we skipped the education degree.
Yep. Got rid of it. But what was interesting, Coach Hutchinson, during one of his classes, he said something that I'll never forget. And he had the class do something that I'll never forget. And we had just done taking a quiz, and he told everybody to turn the paper over. And he's like, I want you guys to explain to me in 2 words what you want to do with your life.
Hmm.
And, I turned the paper over and I wrote on the back to educate, and whatever form that came in, and whatever plan God had for me at that time, I knew I wanted to teach, but I
something
just
somehow.
Teach. Yes, exactly. Mm. In my final like year of working at Starbucks, I had more fun training new hire-ons than I did actually like working. And I know that sounds bad, but it was just, that's where the enjoyment was.
Sure. Yeah, that's kind of built into your DNA, and you saw in different aspects with you were teaching computer science and then teaching other people to work out and teaching people how to make coffee, just teaching something.
Yeah, interesting. It's almost like that was like a theme through the whole time, and then all of a sudden
your two dreams came together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That kind of the experience, or you just realizing like, oh, wow, this has kind of been in me the whole time?
Yeah, well, yes, exactly. Kind of been in me the whole time, kind of realizing my path, my purpose.
Wow.
You know, it's funny. I look back to my high school yearbook, and at the, you know, they have like the acronym that you fill out, you know, kind of what you want to do with your life, or what quote you live by.
Sure.
And my occupation was personal trainer.
Really?
And I don't ever remember writing that, but that's, I remember crazy, opening up the yearbook and being like, well, okay, God's got a sense of humor, apparently.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
So definitely in the right place.
Okay. And so now you work at Hughley as a personal trainer. What do you mean by that? Like the hospital has personal trainers
Before you answer patients? That, I feel like you just need to give me the formula, because I'm pretty sure in my high school yearbook, I wrote like rock star or something. So if you could just tell me how to.
Yeah, I probably put like famous singer.
Right. Got to rub it like a, you know, the Aladdin lamp or something. So that
how do you
comes
make that
true.
Come true?
Yes. That's my answer is yes. I don't know.
Fair.
Graduated again from Southwestern in 2014.
Okay.
And in that time, my wife and I had got married. We had our first kid. Second to last semester, had our first kid.
Okay.
So that was
school and a baby.
We just decided to make things real fun.
Sure.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, it is. Graduated. Never walked. Wish I would have.
Never on either?
From Southwestern, I think.
Okay. Mm. Okay.
Yeah. But that's okay. Fast forward. We've been married, we've been together for, this will be 18 years this year.
Wow.
We've been married for 13, almost 13 We've got three kids to show for, and really exciting,
journey. Having met them recently, I can confirm they are very fun.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
His kids, Zach's kids, are a fun time.
So we learned. I was exhausted. You were just sitting on the couch like this.
Well, that's funny because I feel like I don't know you and your wife very well, but from the very small encounters, you both seem very like chill people.
True. Yeah.
So that's me.
Because we're tired half the time.
I understand. Yeah. He's like on vacation. He's like,
that's because we're parents.
That's right.
Before we were.
Yeah. We were super lively.
That's
up until about 8:30. So yeah, three kiddos. Just an exciting journey the whole way through.
Sure, sure. Can you tell me a little bit about kind of your spiritual upbringing? Did you were born and raised Adventist, few generations in?
Yeah. So funny, I listening to Seeking What They Sought, and mm-hmm. I remember you guys talking about what generation of Adventists you were, and mm-hmm. I was like, oh man, I don't think I know.
Quick
that.
Pause. Seeking What You Sought? Is that?
Oh yeah, that's a podcast some friends and I have. Yeah.
Okay, that's your podcast. Yeah. Shout out. Anybody want to listen?
Hey, I'm not trying to shameless plug, but now that we're here, you can just go on Spotify and look up Seeking What They Sought, have a quick listen.
No, that's funny because just the other day, I actually forgot that you had that. And mm-hmm. When you told me that you did, I thought it was just like a fun thing that you did like once or twice before. Mm-hmm. And then I was at this person's house for Sabbath and it was this, older lady? Mm-hmm. That sounds horrible. She's not older.
Older is okay to say.
Okay. Anyway, but she was like, oh yeah, I listened to Anthony on his other podcast. I was like, first of all, how do you know about this podcast? And I don't know about this podcast. So that's the second time I've heard it this week. So Seeking What Is Sought?
Seeking What They Sought.
Seeking What They Sought. Yeah. That's fun. Okay. Sorry.
No, go back. You're good. Yeah.
Zach's time.
Yeah. Sorry. No, it's totally fine. But you guys were talking about generational at what generation Adventist you are. And so I remember listening to that and going, okay, I believe I'm third or fourth generation Adventist.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
So
you're deep in there.
You're deep in.
Deep in, man. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
You drank the Kool-Aid.
Oh, yes.
That's fun.
Yes, we did. grew up Adventist, grew up in the church.
Pretty conservative Adventist, you would say, like were raised that way, your church family and things like that in Ohio and such?
Maybe not so much conservative.
Okay.
A little bit more laid back.
Okay.
You know, my dad, he was a pastor for quite a few years. I can't remember if it was two or three.
Just casually dipped in that?
Yeah, just that he was kind of like the interim. They were in between pastors.
Oh, sure.
He filled the gap, which was really
so
cool.
A little bit of a PK for a moment.
Yeah, just a hot minute.
That's such a Hatch thing. Yeah. That is on brand.
Yeah.
That's something you would do.
Before. Yeah.
That's something you would do.
Yeah.
And how was your look at, how was your relationship with church growing up? Did you enjoy going? Did you have friends?
Yeah, enjoyed going. Had friends, family.
Okay.
You know, I went to, Christian Academy, Seventh-day Adventist school out in Worthington, Ohio.
Okay.
Nice. So yeah, I was that again. Yeah. Just grew up in the church the whole way through.
I literally think Ohio, like the government hides Ohio from us.
Why do you think that, Rem?
That's interesting. Say more.
Like whenever you drive, the highway just takes you around.
No. You never hear anything about Ohio and no one is ever from Ohio. You were the first person that I've met that is not in Ohio.
Wow.
That is from Ohio.
That's interesting.
Listen, think about it. How many people that you know from Ohio?
I know probably, I have one really good friend who is from Ohio.
Right.
But he's maybe the only friend I have
right?
from Ohio.
And then if you ask people like that are not from Ohio, like what's there? They're like,
yeah.
I don't even know what it looks like.
We should ask Zach. Zach, what's in Ohio?
We've got Buckeyes because we're the Buckeye State.
Okay.
Yeah, and then we've got the Ohio State University.
I definitely thought it was more like Kansas. No. It's like Washington, kind of. Yeah. It's like tons of beautiful trees and rolling hills.
Yeah,
and
true. Ohio is pretty.
Like great
time.
Weather.
Yeah.
Like
we have four seasons there. I don't know if
my mind
know
was
are.
Blown about how beautiful it was. I thought it was like bleh, but it's actually very nice. Yeah. Anyway,
nice. It is. Ohio is beautiful. I miss fall time in Ohio.
Yeah.
Yes. So
that was awesome. Okay, cool. And then your relationship with church continued throughout your life.
Mm-hmm. And never a serious relationship, but just always there.
Okay.
Yep. Was first time I was baptized, I was, I think, 11 or 12. Oh. I did it because a friend did it.
Mm-hmm. I did hear that first time.
Classic. Yeah. Yeah, no true conviction.
Sure, that altar call.
Yeah. Oh, you're doing it too?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go.
Buddies. Yes. Yeah, right. Totally understand that.
So yeah, that was, I mean, the general gist of me in the church at that point in time.
Okay.
You know, my wife, obviously, she grew up in the church as well.
And, okay.
So yeah, that was kind of the basic of the relationship.
Yeah, you guys were just like...
time.
The going basic the Adventist.
Yeah, going through the motions.
Gotcha. Went to school, graduated. You're both working and you've had your first baby. Where are we going next?
So had the first baby. Mandy's story kind of took off after our first kiddo. And that's kind of where her story really kind of took, you know, as things started happening in our life. I would say it happened to Mandy first, but it was also happening to me at the same time.
Sure.
I got a sense of things being different. I say that in a way that I never really gave the devil any thought.
Interesting.
And, you know, I gave God thought, you know, on Sabbath, mm-hmm. But never really gave the devil a second thought.
Okay.
And I think my first real like encounter with that was I was watching a series of movies, the Underworld movies.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I remember I was probably two or three of them in. And I remember one night I went to bed and had a terrifying dream, mm-hmm. A very real dream. That scared me out of my sleep. And I remember mm-hmm. waking up in a complete scare, full blown sweat. Mm-hmm. Mandy and I, we hadn't had Bailey yet, or my oldest, we hadn't had her yet. We had just been married. And she, I don't remember saying it, but I said, don't leave me. Just don't leave me. Please don't leave me. And she's like, it's middle of the night. I'm not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those things where I ended up calling Pastor Russ.
Okay.
He had.
So you felt like attacked.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Full blown attack. And he had kind of guided me through that. And so after that, I never touched those movies.
Sure.
Again.
I was going to say, did you kind of tie it back to those?
Yeah.
And or you felt like.
Yeah. So after that moment, I was like, yeah, I don't think I want to mess around with those anymore.
Sure.
And I didn't really have much of an attack or an experience after that. So I would say really kind of the beginning of the journey, the change in my life. I'll just go ahead and fast forward to that.
Yeah.
I really just kind of coasting through life.
Okay.
You know, three kids, they're all very young. I had transitioned into working as personal trainer, had been there for probably 6 years.
Okay.
And so we're out celebrating my brother-in-law's birthday. It was January 4th. It was on a Saturday. And Saturday night, we go do an escape room.
Nice.
And because that's all you could do pre-COVID. so we're at the... in Arlington, we're driving back. It's probably 10 o'clock at night. We had just taken the exit for Keene. We're heading down, 2280. And we're coming down that first big hill and somebody swerves into our lane and sideswipes our car. My sister and Mandy in the front seat. And then it was myself behind Mandy in the passenger seat. My brother-in-law, who's sitting right next to me, was in the middle seat, and his brother beside him.
Okay, so full car.
So my brother-in-law and I were the only ones not wearing seatbelts.
Okay.
Sideswipes us. My sister ends up hitting the gas pedal, thinking she was hitting the brake.
Oh.
In the heat of the moment, we end up going into the ditch, and we go through two fences and hit a light post.
Wow.
Electrical okay. post.
Yep.
And had just so happened to be a one with a transformer on top of it.
Whoa.
So we were in the car, and by the grace of God. My brother-in-law stayed seated. I don't know how he didn't.
The one in the middle or?
Yeah, he was in the middle. Mm-hmm. How he didn't go flying through the windshield is, I mean, beyond me.
Wow.
And I just rammed into the back of my, the passenger seat extremely hard.
Sure.
Hurt my shoulder a little bit. We I walked away with bumps and bruises.
Okay.
The car looked absolutely smashed.
But all of you were
all of us were
okay.
Fine.
Yeah.
The car that had hit us overturned and turned her car over.
Okay.
Oh, but it
she
flipped.
Was, yeah, she, it flipped. She was completely fine.
Okay.
Because we had all gotten out. And when we gotten out, we noticed that the electrical post we had hit cracked halfway up and it was bending down. So the transformer Ooh. Itself was getting ready to come down on top of the car.
Whoa.
So we got out.
Yeah.
Yeah, really crazy. So we okay. go walking back up the road and one guy stops us and he's like, are you the guys that just hit that light, that you know, electric post? And we're like, yeah. And he's like, you shouldn't be alive right now.
Hmm. Oh.
He's like, there's no way you guys should be alive. As fast as you were going, as mm-hmm. hard as you hit that thing, you should, every single one of you should be gone right now.
Wow.
So we get up there and the lady is in her car. She's totally fine.
Okay. Wow.
So yeah, aside from that, it was just a really bad accident.
Yeah.
But what came next was something that, at least for me and myself, I was nothing that I would have ever expected to happen.
Okay.
Aside from just kind of coasting through life, the next few days were really kind of interesting. We had a good friend of ours. She lived down the street. We were living here in Keene at the time. And she came over to bring us some food because she had heard what happened.
Sure, just...
So she brought us a casserole and she brought me a book on grace.
Hmm.
And I cannot remember. It was about the sanctuary and grace. And I don't know who wrote it. She's like, if you guys get a chance, read this. This is a really good book. And at that time, just weren't there spiritually. I mean,
sure. You're like,
we're barely going to church as it is. We had three young kids. Last thing our mind was going to like wrangling all the kids up and going to church.
Yeah. No, or like just, taking any type of free time to read a book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. If it wasn't an audiobook, we weren't in.
Yeah.
Can you confirm? Because that's something I've heard from other friends. Because I have a lot of friends who are, they have either newborns or like really young children right now. And that's something that they've shared with me that they didn't expect was that how hard it is to go to church with young kids.
Oh, man.
Is yeah, that, can you confirm?
Absolutely. Yeah, because you
when,
think-
And why, yeah, why is that?
Think about, I mean, you, if you've worked a long week and you're already mentally and physically exhausted, waking up at, you know, 7 o'clock in the morning and being like, okay, let's get up, have coffee, eat breakfast, get in the shower, get the kids ready. You know,
it's just another like school day at that point.
Oh man, it's so much work. And then, you know, making sure that you got the diaper bag and everything's in it.
It's a lot.
You know, get to church. And when you go to church, I mean, you're not really listening because you're like, don't touch that. You know, don't right. don't put that in your mouth, you know. And you know, I gotta go to the potty. And you know,
right.
exactly. So it's kind of like you take him to Sabbath school and you're like, okay, I think we're going to get through this at some point. Like we'll yep. get back in the sanctuary at some point.
Sure.
So that was, and that's really kind of where we were.
Okay.
We tried, you know, going to church, but it was hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So our friend, she comes over, she gives us the food and she ends up sharing my, Mandy was at work at the time. So I had the kids at home and, she started telling me her testimony, how much God had changed her life in the past 6 months.
Mm. Wow.
And great. I was super excited for it. But I mean, that was honestly the last thing on my mind is like talking about God and really just really disconnected from God at that point in my
okay.
life. I remember us talking and I made a point to her. It was a very vulnerable moment
mm-hmm.
when I was talking to her and I told her, I was like, you know, it's crazy. I was like, my daughter, it's crazy when your daughter or my daughter has more conviction than I do. Mm-hmm. And as I said that, I was just, it just came out and I was like, why did I just say that? And I could see the look on her face and I was like, I don't know why I just said that, but it was in that moment, it was the realization of your life is not right.
Yeah,
your 7-year old has more conviction than you do, loves Jesus more than you, talks about heaven more than you do.
Mm. Wow.
And what type of, and really the thing that kind of came to my mind is, oh man, what kind of legacy are you leaving for?
Yeah, what influence are you?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can tell you at that time in my life, I would, you know, my daughter was coming here to KAES. I'd pick her up from school. I'd get the kids from daycare. We'd come home.
Mm-hmm.
And my routine was, you know, I'd wait for Mandy to get home And in that time, I was sitting the kids on the couch, turning the TV on, and my computer was 10 feet away. Mm-hmm. And I'd get on my computer and play computer games.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And it was that I got frustrated when they would come distract me. You know, go back over there. Go read your, you know, go play or go, you know, sit in front of the TV. That was more so, that was the routine. At that time I was still struggling with pornography addiction.
Okay.
At that time as well. And so, you know, there's addiction to that. There's not being a dad. There's the separation from God, really just immersed, what I call with being immersed in the way of the world rather than just being immersed in the way with God. So the world was very much my God at that point. And so going back to that moment where I'm realizing that my oldest daughter has more conviction than I do, it was as if God had just really kind of stripped me of the world in that moment. And I was and pulled back the blinders, and I could,
like see yourself for who you really were.
And I was feeling for the first time, the first realization of fear and anxiety entered into my body.
And is this the fear and anxiety of?
Right. Okay. So the fear and anxiety of not. This is the last day that I'm going to be alive. I dealt with that for about 2 weeks.
Okay.
I was going through these.
Like the conviction that it was, or wondering like, what if this was my last day?
This is, would yeah, I be? Every single day I'd come home and I'd look at my kids and I was like, this is the last time I'm going to see them. And I break down into tears.
Oh, wow.
Like my life was going to end. And I had moments of like, I'm going to be on antidepressants for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I was having panic attacks. I was, I'd call my dad up crying and trying to figure out.
Kind of just a root of like, you've lost who you are. And so you're just.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And not knowing what to do. I very much felt like a child.
Okay.
So, wow. You know, I'm.
Stripped it all the way down.
Yeah. 35 years old. And I'm calling my parents up crying, not knowing what to do in life, not knowing where, like, what am I doing? Like, how have I gotten to this point? I'm scared out of my mind. I couldn't wait till my wife got home so I could, you know, focus on her. And then I'm, you know, I'm looking at her being like, how did I get you like in this state? How this type of person, how did I end up
with
you?
Begin to feel like disappointed and guilty about who you are.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly right. And it was just I could feel the attacks coming in full force.
Wow. Yeah. Just all those lies that the devil was telling.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, you're worthless, like you're gonna die. Like those things, those were very real thoughts. And ended up talking to a good friend of ours who's a pastor down in Austin. And he had me start journaling. This was really kind of the start of my journaling journey as well. He's like, I want you every day to write down how you feel.
Okay.
And I only did it for a handful of days. I'm glad he made me do that because 2 weeks go by. I'm still working. You know, I got some relief being at work. So I wasn't, my mind was distracted and focused on, you know, trying to help people, you know, get in shape as a trainer. And had a couple workout partners, a husband and wife, who were really great. They're phenomenal people. And putting up with me for those 2 weeks, man, more power to them. They need hugs all the time. And I remember one day I was sitting on the ground, just kind of warming up, getting ready to work out with them, and completely distracted. Like I was in La La Land.
Sure.
And my workout partner had to call my name a couple times. He's like, hey, come on, snap out of it. Let's get to work. And in that moment, I'd been going back and forth because, you know, I'd been talking to my dad and a good friend, a good pastor friend, and praying a lot and trying to understand what was going on in my life. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to try something today that I've never tried before. I was like, I'm going to try and work it out of my system. I'm going to try and work out all of the...
Like a negativity?
Yeah, the fear, the anxiety. I'm going to reel all that in and pour it into a workout.
Okay.
And see what happens.
Okay.
So it, as a little side thing, I love CrossFit. It's one of my favorite forms of fitness. It's ever changing. It's not the same thing all the time. So for my brain, that works wonderful. So we were actually in the heat of, weren't getting ready. I was making the decision to do a competition. So my exercise regimen was just ramping up. My volume was an exercise and reps and weights that I was doing was starting to really get high. And
what you're trying to say is that you were getting swole.
Trying to get swole. That's
trying
right.
to get swole.
Yeah. And as I'm in the process of that, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do all this. I'm going to see. And whatever's left, I'm going to give to God. That was my thought. Hmm. So I attacked that workout harder than I think I've ever worked out in my life up to that point. And I mean, I was sore before the workout was ever over. I was exhausted.
Just like pushing it.
Oh, I mean, I was a mental, physical, emotional, spiritual push that I've never experienced in my life.
Interesting.
And I mean, I was completely wrecked. And as we get done and I peel myself off the ground and limp to the car and, you know, roll in the car, start the car. And I turn the car on, and about 15 seconds later, the radio's on. And so it starts playing the last song or whatever song I had downloaded on Apple Music. It just starts playing it. Well, it starts playing Citizen Way.
Okay.
A Christian group. Mm-hmm. And it was their second album they had put out, 2.0. And it just starts playing the album from the very first song. Mm-hmm. And it is, that album is more so in the perspective of God's words to us.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. An incredible album. And I pull out of the parking lot and I'm on the service road and I just start crying.
Oh.
I'm tired mentally, physically, spiritually. I just killed myself in the gym and I just start bawling.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to drive while I'm doing all of that. And
We've all been there.
It's impossible.
The driving while crying is an
honestly
art,
a skill.
It's a skill, an art form.
It really is. And I'm just, it, for whatever reason, it felt like God was speaking to me in that moment.
Wow.
Driving down the road and I'm bawling my eyes out. I have no words, but all I can hear are the words that are coming through the stereo, through the speakers. And then I'm getting close to Keene. I'm getting close to CC Cook, to that intersection. And then all of a sudden, I mean, it was instant. It was almost like my breath got taken away from me and I had this moment and I'm still driving and I'm having this moment and fear, anxiety, soreness just disappear.
Wow.
Like in a moment. And, as I'm driving, I don't know how I'm still driving, but I'm driving and, it's not like a vision, but it's just what I can see in my mind.
In your mind's eye, you pictured?
In my mind's eye, a very visual brain. And so the best way that I could describe it is I could see a pillar of light.
Mm-hmm.
And as in my, and I could see just what would be these black things hitting this pillar of light and bouncing off of it.
Yeah. Mm. Whoa.
And I'm just seeing that. And I was like, I don't understand, but it felt warm.
Yeah. Mm.
It was a warm feeling.
Wow.
And
so you are technically kind of like this pillar of light then, and the things are bouncing off of, like God is making you this pillar of light and these evil, negative, satanic things are bouncing off of.
That's kind of,
that's like what you're envisioning.
What I'm envisioning in my mind. And the next thing that I see is I'm in the open. And what I would imagine to be Jesus is pointing in a direction off to his left. So as I'm facing him, I'm surrounded by openness.
This is all happening while you're driving.
Oh,
okay.
I'm driving in my
this
mind.
This is all happening while you're driving.
And I'm just, and again, that's why I'm like, I don't know how I drove, but this is what I'm seeing in my mind's eye. And
it's a wide open field.
Yeah, wide open field, mountains, and I see Jesus pointing, but there's no words, there's no face to it. But what I hear in my mind is run as fast as you can. and you're going to set things ablaze. That is what, and I just—
That's what he said.
That's the words that I could feel.
Yeah. Yep. I understand.
When I turned to my right, which would have been the direction he was pointing, there was a mountain. And he said, run through it. It still gets me to talk about it, but
yeah.
It was, and I remember running through it. In that moment, things disappeared.
Yeah.
Like I said, fear, anxiety, those things were just
building up and taking over you are just gone.
Understanding the faith of a mustard seed can move mountains.
Yeah.
Made sense.
Yeah.
For the first time in my life, I was like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
That's what that means.
It's like all those things were the mountain.
Yeah.
And he just was like, gave you permission
to run through it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's beautiful.
So I remember going to pick my kids. And my sister's watching my kids at that time. And, you know, most days that she was watching, I pick her up and just outright depressed. I remember getting to her house and she's like, are you okay? And I was like,
I've been great.
I've been crying for the last 20 minutes and I feel amazing. this is great. The one last thing before I was pulling up to her house, I remember hearing or feeling a word, just one word, because I think we as Adventists can all go to, well, what's the next step? What's the next thing? We always want to know the next thing.
When
are you coming back? When's this going to happen? You know, all these things.
Right.
And that's very much my life. And all I could hear was baptized.
Okay.
Was baptized.
You heard that word.
I could hear that word inside of me over.
Like that was your next step.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was baptized.
Wow.
So, after that, talk about the journey. That was just, I mean, after that journaling takeover, it was a whirlwind of learning about the Bible. You know, COVID was happening, really ramping up at that time.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of fear rolling around, you know, at that time in our Earth's history. And so I really had time to just kind of dive into the word during that time, actually illustrated what I experienced in my mind's eye. So I drew it out in a comic form.
What Zach has not shared is that he's like a professional grade artist.
That's
like he has an art Instagram. He draws superhero. He's super talented. So
that's awesome. That's super cool. Okay.
So I illustrated it to the best of my ability. I think I got the point across. I haven't painted it. You've done anything past just putting the words on paper and drawing it. That was the extent of it. I haven't really shared it with many people, but for me, it's a good reminder of that, I would like to call that wake up call, that awakening.
Wow. Yeah.
I remember sharing.
Wait, sorry, Zach, interrupt. So
that's what I want to title this, The Awakening.
Yeah, that's a great title.
Ooh.
So if we were to summarize like kind of the catalytic transformative moment in your life, it almost sounds like you've described a series of events that were kind of like a season in your life that kind of maybe kind of trickle began with that nightmare, like kind of an awakening to this supernatural.
Yeah.
Okay.
In a negative sense.
Sure.
But then there was the car crash, another negative event, but kind of
like a wake up.
Like, like I could have died. Yeah. Really shaken. And then
the conversation with the woman
and the book that she shared.
Mm-hmm.
And
the thing that your daughter had said kind of exposed like, this is really where I'm at.
Yeah.
And then that moment in the car.
Well, the 2 weeks of straight anxiety and fear.
Oh, yeah. The two weeks leading up.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like a season in your life.
Yeah.
That kind of culminated to that car moment almost. Is that what it sounds?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yep. I remember.
And then you just kind of exploded from there into.
Yes. Yeah. Full on Jesus after that.
Awesome.
Yeah. And I remember telling my dad that, and the first thing he told me after I told him that story, he was like, well, welcome. I'm glad you're awake.
Wow.
Yeah. How did your wife feel about all that? I mean, where? How were you guys at that moment? Was she in a similar boat as you, ahead of you on the boat, behind you with the boat? How did she take all of this?
Where in the boat was she?
Where in the boat?
Yeah.
What part of the boat?
There were times where I felt like she was waiting at the road post, you know, the sign, just kind of waiting for me, like, yeah, I'm glad you're finally here. Let's go.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was new territory for her because, you know, I was talking a lot about how I would call my dad up and, you know, my good friend who's a pastor, but she very much was in the thick of it with me. You know, she's, you know, trying to tell me to let go.
Yeah.
Just let go.
Yeah.
And it's funny. I say that. There was a sermon that Pastor Travis had given one Sabbath, and it was actually about 5 days before that all happened, if I remember correctly. And
before all of that happened?
Before the car incident. And
the car accident, okay.
Or not the car accident.
The car incident.
The car incident.
The wake up, yeah.
The wake up car call.
Yeah exactly. His whole sermon was centered around letting go.
Wow.
And
just these little seasonings.
Oh, I know. Looking back, I'm like, okay, I get it.
Typical God. Yeah.
Look at God.
Look at God.
Look at the cookie crumbs, you know? So that is kind of, where it really led to. And she was, while she was trying to help me navigate that, was new territory for her because I wasn't, that wasn't my personality. I wasn't one to be afraid. I was the one usually consoling, telling it's gonna be okay. So for the roles to be reversed was hard.
For her to adjust to that.
Yeah.
Sure. And she
just, hard for her or hard for you?
Hard
or both?
For her. Hard for us both because here I'm in this role and very much in need of just assurance. And
and as the, you know, father, husband, protector, that was probably like a very like,
the shift.
Yeah.
Moment of a scary moment of like weakness.
Yeah.
Pride moment.
Right. Yeah. This figure that I'm supposed to be and live up to mm-hmm. was very much just shattered.
Sure.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, man. So.
And can you give me this? How long ago? This was like 4 years ago. This, approximately.
Yeah. January 2020.
Okay.
Yeah. Was wow. when that all happened.
Just and, about 4 years ago.
Middle of January. And so fast forward to just kind of from, you know, being at home during COVID and kind of getting back into work life and, you know, navigating all the stressors of, you know, that time. I remember one Sabbath morning, it was in September, I woke up, was in the shower, and I remember having that shower thought. You know,
yeah. That. I love that how you started the story was, yeah, this one September morning, I woke up, I was in the shower.
Yeah. And it was that moment of, it's time. It's time to get baptized.
Wow.
Wow.
And,
okay.
That's a very sane shower thought.
Yeah, right?
There's been worse.
There's been worse shower
thoughts. Yeah, that's
thoughts.
Right. And it was a moment of, yeah, you're right. I think it is time. Because up until that point, I had just immersed myself in as much scripture and listening to Ty Gibson, David Asherick,
where rubber meets the road type of moment.
Exactly. And those guys were heavily just influenced my journey. Those two did. And I called my friend up that I had been talking to at the early part of my journey, the pastor. And I told him, I was like, hey, I want to get baptized. He's like, okay. And I was like, and I want you to do it. He's like, sounds great. He's cool. Like, when are you thinking? And I was like, now. Like, I want to do it today. And
he's like, sorry?
Yeah. And he, exactly.
Like, all of us and programmers are like, I don't know if there's any room.
He had just, now mind you, at the time, he lived in Washington State.
Okay. Yeah.
And we're in Keene, Texas.
And we're in Keene, Texas.
And this is a phone call.
And he was like, you know, I'm in town, right?
Oh.
And I was like, I do now. And he's like, you want to do it?
Where's the river?
Yeah. He's like, you want to do it later on? He's like, you got a body of water? And just
please
so
say
happened,
the duck pond. See, right, say it.
It just so happened my mom and dad were leaving their inflatable pool up.
No way.
And they were like, we're going to leave it up for another week. And
I forgot the story.
Yeah. And they had left it up and I was like, well, mom and dad still have the pool up. And he's like,
perf.
5 o'clock. I'm like, you got it. He's like, call any of your friends that you want to be there. And he's like, let's do this thing.
Wow. Imagine receiving that phone call. Hey, Zach, what's going on? Hey, man, I don't know if you're busy at 5, but I'm getting baptized. Yeah. I'm sorry?
Yo, not going to lie. That's like a pastor's dream phone call.
Yeah, right. We're at, in the pool in the back. Yeah. So we'll have snacks. It'll be a good time. See you there.
That's great.
It was awesome.
Wow.
What an awesome experience we had. I think we had like 10 people there.
Wow.
That's cool they came out.
And your kids got to see this
too.
And
oh, yeah.
Your wife. And so how has your life culminated after? How has it been? What effects have you seen this change have with your relationship with your kids? And because I know you talked a little bit about, you know, shoving them in front of the TV and, you know, not having that relationship or that conviction that your 7-year-old had. Like, how have you seen that change? How's it shaped that part of you?
I wish we had more time.
Sure.
Right.
It's story time with Uncle Zach is what I like to call it. Oh. We could go on for hours. In short, it's been amazing. You know, I got to watch my 11-year-old get baptized in January.
That's awesome.
That was amazing.
Praise Jesus.
Yeah. And that was amazing. I did not hold it together at all.
Yeah, you were a wreck.
Oh, man, that wrecked me so
hard. And she had that video. Bailey had that video that where she recorded. That was
beautiful. And I remember showing that to some friends of mine at the gym, and they're like, how old is she?
Right.
I was like, she's 11.
Going on 20.
And she
20.
Did that when she, exactly. Yeah. And she did that when she was 10. And I was, even Pastor Travis, I remember him saying, he's like, I've never heard a 10-year-old talk like that. And I was like, it wasn't me. I was like, at 10, I was in front of the TV playing video games.
Yeah.
You know? I was playing with mud.
Right. I was playing with cows. So
that's it.
Different upbringing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Way different. So it's been awesome. You know, Mandy's story has been really, really great. I believe God wanted me to go through that for what came after that. You know, my wife losing my father-in-law and mother-in-law, helping my wife navigate all of that.
Sure. Well, honestly, it's kind of a crazy testimony itself that your faith began to strengthen in the moment that she needed you to have that the most.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. And looking back at it, I thank God for that. Oh man, so many times where I would just pray, you know, and those quick silent prayers in the moment when you're talking to somebody just struggling.
Yeah, you know, give me the words.
Give me the words. That's literally all he could get out before the next words came out. And there were a lot of those moments with Mandy, and helping her navigate that. And so I'm glad. Now that I did go through all of that, I'm glad that I did wake up because I wouldn't be here if I didn't. I definitely could see my life spiraling out of control even more with that. And you know, what's crazy is I briefly talked about having an addiction to pornography, and that I remember one day that just all disappeared.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was the wildest thing. And I can't put words to it. I know who did it.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's
you're like, I know who's to blame.
Yeah, that's right. it's wild. I struggled with that for, oh my goodness, years. I think I was 20 plus years.
Wow. We could do a whole podcast on that topic.
Yeah, we need to.
We might bring you back there.
That's fine. I would love to talk about that. It's fun to talk about that. It's because that journey is a whole nother entity in and of itself.
Wow. Yeah.
So yeah, that being able to walk away from that, and just kind of speak to people. And I know there's other people out there that are struggling with it and probably saying, I wish I could do that. And I'm here to tell you, there are things that I wish I could have dropped like that I didn't, that I still struggle with. You know, just in learning to let go, you know, yes, I had that wake up call, but you know, also it is a journey through and through.
It is.
I would love to say that once you wake up and once you have that moment, that mountaintop experience with God, that it's over. Man, it is not. Because you got to go down the mountain, then you got to come back up the mountain, then back down. And it is, but it's an experience. Mm. It's an experience that we can share with others. I remember reading a prayer warriors guide. I think it was Ron Halverson put it out, mm-hmm. senior. And, one of the things that I remember from that is, our greatest weapon in this war, or really the battle, the remaining battle, because the war has been won.
Right.
But the battle that happens after the war has been won, he said, our greatest weapon in this battle is our testimony.
Mm.
And yep. it's so true. How yep. many people you touch with just telling your story is
yeah.
absolutely incredible. And what that, how that empowers everybody around you, you know, because yeah, it could be one person, but you know, all of heaven rejoices for that one person. Yeah.
That's right. That lost sheep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, Anthony man. And I were talking about when we wanted to start this podcast, testimonies were something we definitely wanted to include because mm-hmm. it didn't have to be some, you know, giant, you know, I was addicted to drugs and in prison, mm-hmm. but like just these like smaller testimonies that are, could only reach maybe a small set of people. Mm-hmm. It still matters.
Yeah.
They still make a difference.
Yes, yeah. absolutely.
And we want to be able to reach those type of people because we don't always get the time to yeah.
in
do
church.
It. And so yeah. exactly. That's a big thing.
I think that's, I think that's what I love about podcasts like mm-hmm. this because it gives us a platform.
Yeah.
We may be afraid to get up in front of hundreds of people, you know, up on the mm-hmm. stage, but you know, this is that close, that family environment where we can take this and spread it.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah, man.
Thank goodness for social media in yeah. that sense, right?
For real. I'm curious to ask, like, from baptism to you, like you feel like there were those miraculous changes in your life and it's been a journey. How do you feel like, and I know this could be another 45 minutes, but how do you feel like the journey has been from then till now? Because oftentimes with testimonies like this, you know, we kind of stop at the baptism moment. You yeah. gave your heart to Christ, you recommitted, or you had a transformative moment. But what's the journey been like for you since then?
Because
yeah. that's about what, 2 years?
So from baptism.
Baptism was what, 21?
20.
20, okay.
September
okay.
of 20.
So 4 years now.
Yeah, getting close to 4 years since baptism. And an incredible journey, you know, where I was just trying to understand the Bible, scripture. You know, I felt like I'd run my course with, you know, listening to all the seminars that Ty Gibson had put on and David Astrick, which they're still phenomenal. But I wasn't getting everything that I needed. And I remember that moment where I realized I didn't need them anymore. And that's around the time I came to you and about 6 months ago. And that was that moment of like
6 months.
Yeah, I know, right? And where I realized that I did not have an emotional connection with the cross. When I thought about Jesus dying for me mm-hmm. as on a personal level, I didn't have an emotional connection to it.
Sure, sure.
And I knew something was off. I had understood all these things. You know, I understand Daniel and Revelation, you know, everything that mm-hmm. we like to talk about
become personal.
Yeah. How did it become personal? And so it was, I had reached out to Anthony, and said that I needed to understand what sin was, needed to understand that. And then just kind of what Christ did for me.
So yeah.
we started that journey through Romans was where we,
true.
We yeah, started.
No, and I was saying earlier, it hadn't become personal. And so it was now your moment where you were like, I want this, all of these things that I was learning for it to become personal.
Yes, yes, yeah. exactly. Yes, yes. And that was, yeah, now I wanted that personal relationship, which understanding that I just didn't have.
Yeah. Mm.
And there was that
coming
void.
To that moment is awesome.
Oh though. Yeah, absolutely. Again, oh, yeah. Christ, losing it in front of Anthony for the first time. Oh, Zach, I want to know Jesus.
Yeah. That was beautiful, bro. That's, again, you know, a pastor's dream come true is that
you know, anytime someone comes in the office is like, I want to know Jesus more. That's like,
they're like, this is why I do what I do.
This is why I went to seminary. Yeah. Sometimes we forget. I forgot when I was in Hebrew 2 trying to survive, but you reminded me.
Yes.
Oh, it's great, man.
Yeah.
Well, Zach, as we kind of wrap up here, thank you so much for sharing your testimony. Is there kind of anything you want to, your last closing words about those maybe?
Yeah, what do you want to leave us with? Where you were. Others, yeah, that's great. What would you say to someone who was where you were at the very beginning of this?
Yeah.
Reach out. Find somebody that you trust. You know, ask them to pray for you. Mm. And, you know, very much what my wife had said when she was on stage a couple weeks ago. Be specific about your prayer life. If someone reaches out to you, pray with them, pray for them. Mm. Don't stop. Mm. And, you know, try and ask the Holy Spirit to give you as many resources and connections as possible. Mm. And understand that this isn't the end. Mm. Like, your old life may end now, but there's a brand new creation happening within inside of you that, man, you just don't
That's
even
good.
Know.
Bars.
That's good. Yeah. That's good.
Well, Zach,
that's powerful, man.
Thank you for leaving us with that. Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was such an incredible story. Well, everyone, thank you so much for joining us today. I hope that you were touched by Zach's testimony. And we hope to catch you next time. For those of you listening, whether you're in our community or somewhere else, just remember that here at Elevate, there is always room for one more. Bye, guys.